Bible. The ushers are going down. Just raise your hand and leave it up, and they'll get you a Bible. And when you get your Bible, go ahead, turn it to Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. And I titled this message, How Do I Really Know That Christ Loves Me? You know, you may be one of those people that say, I know that Jesus died on the cross for me. I know that, according to the study last week, that he's interceding for me. But how do I really, really know that he loves me? And that's an excellent question to ask. Because in our lives, and I should get a big amen at the end of this, in our lives, what happens? We end up going through a lot of trials, a lot of temptations, and they're in our lives constantly. And if they're there, then how can God be a loving God to me? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that that might be true to you? Because if you have, listen closely, because you're listening to the devil. Because there's so much that we're going to be able to see how God is there in such a loving, wonderful way in our lives. Even in those times that you blow it, God is still there loving you, even when you blow it. Say you have an issue with anger and you slip into anger and you blow up, or you're thinking something bad about somebody. Or even worse, you're talking about them behind their backs. Or maybe you're living in a sin that you know you shouldn't be living in. Or maybe you're at work and somebody's very attractive to you. You haven't done anything, but you're feeling emotional ties, which would be emotional adultery if they're not your husband or wife. Those are sins that when we are going through them, we need to accept the fact that that displeases Jesus. So if it displeases Jesus and we're living in these worldly bodies, then how in the world can Jesus still love me when I'm trapped in this body? I have no value. I'm worthless. I'm no good. I only wish I could be this person because then I could accomplish something. And the mind games just go on and on and on. And it's the enemy trying to destroy us. Now, when you're going through that and you're living and you catch yourself that you did something unpleasing to God, I would remind you of what the scripture says, and John was speaking to Christians there in 1 John 1:9, where he tells us and instructs us that we, if we confess our sins to him, God, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you guys already know what all in the Greek means, right? That's it. See, you got your diploma in Greek already. All means all. And when we're messing up, we should remember that God has given us an avenue to come to him. And even in the midst of those horrible tragedies, and, you know, don't you love the friends that when you're blowing it or you're sick, they say, you must be living in sin, or you don't have enough faith. When I had cancer, and I had to have it operated and taken out, somebody actually said, you must be living in sin, because you have this cancer. I almost wanted to give them a bloody nose and say, you're living in sin because your nose is bleeding. You know, just think about that. Words can be very damaging to people. And we need to recognize that we're not called to go out and damage other people. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. But never forget the last part. But be of good cheer, for I have already overcome. So if we're in him, we just have to weather the storm. And you know what they used to do to sailors in the olden days when it was sailboats, big, big sailboats, and they come to into a storm? They would tie themselves onto the masts where the sails go up and are attached. They tie them onto that. Because no matter what side of a ship, you couldn't fall off if you were tied on. We need to tie on to Jesus Christ. He's the captain of our salvation, and we need to hold on to that no matter what's going on. And then when we blow it, we confess it. But let's face it, in this lifetime, we're going to have a lot of issues. Starting, and I want to clarify a word in the Greek for you, in verse 35, the word starts off by saying, and who, but I want to let you know that that Greek word there can be translated either who, which, or what, depending on whether it is in a direct or an indirect question. So, when we're reading through this, some of them are going to appear to be certain people or what type of trial we're going through. So just keep that in mind. So in the Greek, it says, what or who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul lists seven things here in verse 35. Take a look at it. Verse 35, who shall separate us, or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, see, tribulations are not a person. That's why it can be translated what versus who on that particular one. Or distress or persecution, that could be a who. Or famine or nakedness. Or peril, if you don't know what that word means, it just means big danger. What is that saying where you teach the kids, stranger danger? Well, this is a big danger that you're facing and walking into at that particular time. Or sword, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, great dangers, or sword. I want to be honest with you about my life and your life as well. Life is not easy when we're going through trials at times. That would have been a good place for amen. Or are you happy about going through trials? Well, it does say count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials. So we should have the right attitude. And the right attitude is, who's going to separate me from Christ? Now, it's not fun, especially when we have to endure certain things, and they keep on lingering and lingering and on in our lives. You know, ever since I was exposed to Agent Orange, every time you go to the cancer dermatologist, you don't know what's going to pop up. So we keep going to the cancer dermatologist, the specialist, and get it cut off. I call it losing weight a chunk at a time. And I've lost a lot of chunks over this time. So tribulation is something that is not easy to go through. But we need to have a good attitude, and we need to understand. So let's take a look at the word tribulation and what it actually means. In the Greek, it means pressure, literally or figuratively. affliction or afflictions, anguish, burdens, persecutions, tribulation, troubles. Now, if you think that you've gone and had enough for your life of all these tribulations and problems and burdens, and that your cup has been full, you don't have to have it be full anymore, you've reached your max, you haven't even come close to some people. And remember, God said he's never going to allow something to happen to you that you don't have the strength to escape it through Christ Jesus. But take a look at Paul, the apostle, who were writing this book, but he also, the things that he endured, he wrote out to the Corinthian church. And we find them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm just going to be quoting verses 23b, 24, 25, and 26. Listen to the things that Paul went through. And he was an apostle teaching the word of God, showing people the way to salvation, showing people the fullness of joy that comes in knowing Christ. But look at what it cost him. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. Later on, he's going to talk about in just a second how many times he had stripes. In prison, more frequently. And that wasn't to go visit a prisoner. He was in prison quite often. In deaths. Now, what he means by that, I'm surrounded by people who are dying. It doesn't mean that he died a whole bunch of times. So, in deaths, often. For the Jews, 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus one. 40 stripes was the largest penalty you could get. That's what Jesus got. But to show the mercy of the Roman Empire, they'd take one off and say, see, we're merciful. And Jesus went through that. And we see that Paul went through that 5 times. Can you imagine going through it once? He went through being whipped to his back turned into hamburger 5 times. I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times beaten with a rod. Now, a rod, excuse me, depending on the size, excuse me, depending on the size of a man's hand, a rod would be either, if you got really big hands, it would be like the baby finger thick. If you don't have real big hands, it's like the index finger. They're thick, they're solid, but they're extremely long. And when you would be whipped by, and it would just pop just at the right time. And he had that done 3 times. Leaves welts and slices the back. Then it says, once I was stoned. Now, I was watching a black and white old movie, and this sailor said he's been drinking alcohol weekend long. He goes, I can't tell you how stoned I am. That for today means something totally different than what it meant back then and what it means today. Getting high on drugs could be stoned. But this is where they're actually throwing rocks and killing people with rocks. They didn't kill people with a potato. That's a hard potato. You know why? Because this is a rock. It's in the kitchen so we can tell people this is what our potatoes look like when we cook them. But this is a rock, and it's about that size where they grab hold of it. But a lot of times there would be all kinds of jags in it. And then they would haul off and throw it as hard as they could. And welts and slices and cutting into a person's head and their body and causing them to die by being stoned to death. He had to go through that. What an amazing man to do all of that and keep on coming. And so, besides that, Paul was one you probably would not want to go on a cruise with, because it says three times he was shipwrecked. Three times he was shipwrecked. One of those times he was in the water for an amount of time all night and all day before he was picked up. That's amazing. That's crazy. But one of those times, and I'll just briefly tell you the story, paraphrasing it all, he was on a ship, and they anchored right off this island, and yet Paul told the captain, as long as everyone stays on board, we're all going to survive, so keep them on board. And then, the next morning, it was all broken to pieces, and they're able to make it to shore. So what's the first thing to do if you've been cold all night long? You want to warm up. So they started gathering sticks together, and Paul threw some into the fire. He was an example. He wasn't sitting back in his apostle's chair and say, hey, come get some more sticks. He was out there picking the sticks up. And he threw them in, and there was a viper. And it came and it got him right in the arm. And I love what the scripture shows us a mental picture of. And it says, and he shook it off and kept going on. People said he must have been a murderer because that's a poisonous snake and he's going to die here real quick. And so they were just watching. Maybe they were taking bets, you know. How long is he going to live? Because mankind bets on all kinds of things. And so what takes place now is he doesn't die. Oh, he must be a god. He went from a murderer to a god. I would say people are fickle-minded, wouldn't you? Pretty crazy there. And what happened? He says, I'm not a god. Jesus is my God. And they took him to the chief, who they were sick, and he healed them, shared the gospel with them, and the village got saved. All because he was shipwrecked, gathering sticks, bit by a serpent, didn't die, and God used that. Wonder how many times we go into our little crying closets when we have something happen to us instead of getting out where we're supposed to be, and God could use you in the midst of that trial in a magnificent way. Just the next time Satan tries to bite you, just shake it off. I used to have a baseball coach. I was a catcher. Loved that position. But you know what? When a foul ball gets you in the top of the head and you didn't have all those helmets you had right now, you had a mask and you just turned your hat around backwards, I got hit. Now, some of you guys are going to say, all right, now I know why you are the way you are. Thank you, Carrie. I got hit in the head quite a few times by foul balls. And the coach would always come out there and he'd rub it and he says, just remember, it's going to feel a lot better once it stops hurting. Now let's play ball. And you would. You just get in there and start playing ball again. And so when we go through things, we can either become a better person or a bitter person. And if we're going through something, let's all choose to be a better person. And we'll talk later about the light shining through us. And so we see that he was shipwrecked, a night and a day having been in the dip, in journeys often. And now look at all the perils, the dangers he was under. Perils of my countrymen, the Jews. Perils of the Gentiles. Perils in the city. Perils in the wilderness. Perils in the sea. Perils among false brothers. In weakness and in toil and sleeplessness, often in cold or nakedness. Doesn't mean he was a streaker. It meant that he didn't have much to wear. And so he said, in all those things, look what he says in verse 35, and what shall separate us from the love of Christ? I think part of our trials that we have is our attitude towards the trial. And it ends up causing us to either be a better person, and we're growing from it. God, you are going to be able to use this in somebody's life. I don't know how right now, but I know you will one day. So therefore, I'm going to rejoice in that. I remember the first time that Marcy and I walked out of the doctor's office, and they said, well, you have cancer. And I told Marcy, I said, that sure wasn't what I was expecting. And I opened the door for her and closed it behind her, and then I got her, came around to my seat and opened the door, and I just simply said, but I know that this is going to be a Romans 8:28 thing in our lives, and so we'll bear through it. And we've had to more than once, but God has been faithful. He's never taken his love away from us. And why was Paul able to say that? I think it's because it's what we should have. Paul had a heavenly mindset. He was not worried about where he was going to end up. Do you? Are you so scared of where you're going to go when you die that it consumes you today? If you're truly a born-again Christian, it doesn't matter what you get, no matter what happens to you. You could be walking down the street and somebody could jump out and say, give me all your money or I'm going to shoot you. And you go, no, but I'll give you something better. Jesus loves you. You know, if I shoot you, you're going to die. Praise God, I'm going to heaven. What? You're going to heaven if I shoot you? Yeah, so if you want to, go ahead. Then you can have my wallet. It won't matter because I'll be in heaven and you'll end up in hell. So I can tell you about heaven. I've never experienced hell, but you will. And you won't be able to party with your friends because there's no partying in hell. There's anguish and torment. Horrible place to be. But that's where you're headed, so whatever you want to do, go for it. Now, I don't know if your conversation would go along like that, but you hear what I'm saying? And the possibilities of those things happening are very, very true. According to, and this was written at the beginning of 2025, Global Christian Relief listed the 10 most dangerous places in the world for Christians and to have faith and to live there. Number one, North Korea. Two, Somalia. I know that. It's the next one I'm not sure of. Libya. Hold on, watch this. Ukraine. urethra. I love the dictionary that tells you how to say it. Erythria. Can you hear it through this? You know what people call Eritrea? They call it the North Korea of Africa. Because they're just wrapped up in communism, taking from the poor, building their military, and persecuting Christians. Dying left and right. And also the rest of them. In Yemen, Nigeria, Pakistan, Sudan, Iran, Afghanistan. But remember I said these were written at the beginning of 2025. I bet you, and I do bet. You know what I bet? No, I don't bet ice cream. I bet Bible verses. How do you Bible verse? If I'm right, two verses that you don't know and come back and repeat them to me. And if I am wrong, I have to go through and find two verses that I don't know, memorize those, and come back and quote them to you. One time I lost that bet to a chiropractor, so I went into Proverbs and I found where there was a verse on lame legs. And so I went back and quoted it to him, and I said, this is for you as a chiropractor. And I quoted him the verse about having lame legs. But that's a win-win. So you can bet on that. So what am I betting on? I bet you the Congo is probably up on that top 10 list now, with some of the things that I've shared with you just in the last few weeks, what has happened over there. So if these things are happening in the world to Christians, when I was in Lebanon, the professor's wife was talking to me one day, and she said, you know, we as Christians here opened up our land to the Muslims. We welcomed them in. And then we would have 1.5 or 2 on an average children. You don't have a half of a child, but you know what I'm saying. And they would have 2 wives and have like 10 kids. And what's happened is they took their time, and the young kids grew up, voted out all the Christians, and the Muslims are now all in the government. And that's why we look like what we look like here in Lebanon. Beirut used to be like the, but now it's in shambles, she said. And so what's taking place is that Muslims will move in, and you can see it. There's some places back east that they've taken over the whole area. Now they're wanting to institute Sharia law. Can you imagine that? You just go up here to El Cajon. You have Muslims taking over all of that town of El Cajon under the same principles. They don't have the 2 wives, but they have kids, a lot of kids. And so what's happening? There is persecution. And what's going to happen? The more this happens, the more we're going to see. And the more we see, the more we better be ready to where we're going to say, no matter what happens, it's not going to move me out from the love of Christ Jesus, because I know he loves me. And this whole world setup is not a surprise to him. I said, Paul knew what was happening. And that is why in verse 36, he quoted an Old Testament verse, and that is found in Psalms 44:11. And here in Romans, we see that in verse 36, it says, as it is written, for your sakes, your, notice capital letters, means God, We are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, this would be a good place to stop for just a second and ask this question. If God loves me so much that he gave his very best, he gave his son Jesus Christ, why do we have to go through all the difficulties and the hard times that we do here on earth? And it's because of the same verse I just told you about in Romans 8, 28. We spent 2 weeks on that one verse, and it's just an amazing verse, and I know that all things work together for the good. It doesn't say all things are good. It says together for the good. Oh, if we have these difficult times of tribulation, and tribulation can be in many different ways. It can be physical. It can be emotional. It could be problems in your marriage. It could be family issues. It could be work issues. It could be friend issues. Some of the biggest pain that I have had as a Christian is through other Christians who say they were my friend. And you pour your heart and your life into them only to have them stab you in the back. I remember a dear friend of mine pastored a church, and he had a large staff, and one of them was a dear friend of his. He would confide in him and share with him about things that were going on. And then as time went by, he felt that it was time for him to go, the guy that was on staff, to go out and start his own church, because that's how we do it when someone's ready and they want to go out and start someplace. We support them. So he goes, I want you to pray about it in 2 weeks. Just tell me where you feel God wants to send you, and we'll back you up. Came back 2 weeks later and said, I feel God's calling me here. And the pastor said, no, you go back in 2 weeks and come back and tell me where you feel God is calling you, because you're not going to stay here. You need to move on. And he came back and he says, I still prayed and I still feel that I need to stay here. And he goes, well, you can choose in 2 weeks, or I'm going to let you go in 2 weeks. He came back and he said, I still feel I'm supposed to be here. And he goes, okay, you have a 2 week notice. And he let him go. And this guy, his best friend, opened up to everybody about the secrets of the pastor and the pains that he had and how he was hurt by so-and-so and by this and that. And it just totally destroyed this pastor. I mean, emotionally, he couldn't even teach for a while. He actually took a six-month sabbatical just to get his heart right again on what his best friend did to him. And the dear brother, I don't know what happened, but, you know, he ended up dying because of a heart issue. I don't know if all this stress caused that heart issue. I don't know that. But sometimes you have to be wise all the time. But sometimes you have to be especially wise on who you're sharing what with. A pastor is responsible to listen and to take it to the altar of the Lord and not to share it. My difficulties, when I have them, I've got a young lady right over there that I speak to about my issues. And Marcy doesn't talk about them to anybody. And we pray about those things. Now, does that mean it doesn't hurt her? Absolutely, it hurts her. And so I have to choose what I can share and what I can't share. But I have another friend that is just amazing. And his name is Jesus. And I get to share with him everything, whenever anything is going on. And because I can share with him, He takes that burden off of me, because the Word of God says, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. I had a lady one time tell me, I never bother God with the small stuff because He's too busy with the big stuff. True. And I said, then your God's not that big, because I'm always dumping things on Him. And sometimes it's my frustration. I'm dumping this on Him. And then after I dump it on Him, then I say, thank you for listening. And I can, you know, I'm sorry that I dumped it on you, Lord. But I know you wanted me to get it off of my heart and, you know, move forward. That is exactly why we are here in this building right now. I was out in the front yard. We had saved up $125,000, and people were getting upset. Well, why can't we find any property? We got money. How come we can't find any property? And Marcy stopped over at someone's house, and they ended up saying that same stuff. She missed like three innings of our son's all-star game, and that just bugged me. And so I'm cutting the grass the next morning, and I'm just laying it out to God. And I finally said, and you could even have somebody call me, and I don't even have to look. And God, thank you for letting me dump on you, and I know I have to trust you, but just take my heart, because it wasn't so pretty, and you loved me enough to just take this garbage from me. And so I got it all straightened out before I went in. And you need to know, I took a shower and got dressed, and then I went to where Marcy was. I wasn't going to go, you know, all stinky, because I know Marcy, when I walk in from doing yard work, you know, I'm heading towards her, and she goes, and I know that means the shower. Go get yourself unstinketh. And so I went ahead and cleaned up myself first. And then I sat down with her and I told her, I said, you know, I just dumped on God, and, you know, I got it all okay. But I even said to Him, God, you could even have somebody call us or call me about some property. You can do that. You're big. You can do that. That's easy for you. And the phone rings. The kids grabbed and said, hey, Chuck Story's on the line. He's got he wants to talk to you about it, something. And so he starts talking, and I go, wait a second. Where's this at? And he goes, it's right off of Tumbleweed, and it's right on Austin. It's 10 acres. And I think it would be great for your church. I said, don't even put up a sign for sale. I'm going to go grab a couple board guys, and we're going to go over there. And we prayed over it. We had peace over it. We ended up buying it. And I wrote a check for $125,000. And there's a lot more detail of spiritual warfare that went on. And we ended up getting that property, and here we are 25 years later. And I was throwing a little tissy fit. I wonder if I got down to the point where I didn't say, Lord, you could even call, that'd be so easy. And I came in not just stinking on the outside, but stinking in the inside. I wonder if that call would have come to me that day. But I'm so glad that I cleaned myself up inside before I even clean myself up outside. And here we are. What an amazing story that the Lord has done and continues to do. He is just an amazing, amazing God. And so I ended off with friend issue, persecutions of all kinds, famine. This is interesting. You know, people are just saying, oh, global warming, famine's everywhere. Famines have been around. Take a look at the Old Testament. Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dreams that you're going to have harvest grape for 7 years and then famine for seven. Well, there was famine there, and that came exactly like God told Joseph to tell him. And here, Paul's talking about famines. It's not global warming, it's cycle. It's cycles. Do we take good care of our planet? Doggone, yes, we should. Should we pollute it? No, we shouldn't pollute it. But do we make this planet our God? Or do we make God our God? And he's left us here to take care of it properly, but not to do the things that are so crazy in regards to those things. So all of those perils and nakedness, persecutions of all kinds, famines, nakedness, perils of swords, or should I say even guns, and crazy things that some people have been doing with them. I don't know if you heard about the news this last week where there was quite a few shootings going on. First of all, let me tell you, guns are not crazy. They do not have mental capacities. It's the person that has the gun that has the crazies. And now we know that criminals have guns, and those are all illegal guns. So don't think that we have to get rid of all of our guns. That's not right. It's our constitutional right to arm ourselves. But we don't let, and we shouldn't let crazy people have guns whatsoever. So why are some things going on then, you know, with these things? Why do some people get attacked more than others? Well, some people are targets from the enemy. And a lot of the targets are those that are leading people towards righteousness. And Satan hates righteousness. And he's after anybody who wants to lead the people properly. And he throws temptation after temptation after temptation. Why? Because the sheep will scatter. Now, we don't want to be scattered sheep. We want to be in God's flock. So I'm telling you today, don't look at me. I'm a human being. I'm a human being. I'll tell you a secret if you promise not to tell anybody. I had to go in my attic yesterday and change out my filter or wash it all down, put it back up. I thought I had the time just right, but I had to go to a board meeting that I'm connected with in Boulevard. Don't tell anyone. But I went faster than 70 miles an hour. I did. And if I would have gotten a ticket when I was going 70, I know in my heart I would just simply say, I'll take the hit on this one, because I know there was other times that, especially when you have these cars that ride so smooth, you know, and you look down and you're just going, whoa, I didn't know I was going that fast. Use cruise control. Learn how to use cruise control. And that doesn't mean that you set cruise control and sleep until you get to where you're going. Someday that's going to be here, but not right now. So the enemy would love to get a scandal going on pastors, because they lead the flock, if they're good pastors, to green pastures. They lead them to righteousness. And that's why it's so important that we as sheep, that we have to realize, is that if we're a good sheep, what's going to take place is that if we have our eyes on man, we will scatter. And then what will take place is that wolves will come in and snatch. Wolves, for the most part, don't go to the middle of the flock. They go to the things that have wandered off and strayed off. And that's where fellowship is so critically important. I can't tell you how many people that I have seen, strong individuals when they're in fellowship, And when they're not in fellowship, weak as could be, and they're sucked right back into the world. And it's so sad because the enemy does not want us to be strong and righteous. So we need to make sure that we're putting in the right things into our hearts. Now, when you stray, it's so easy that Satan can just whisper lies and you fall for those deceptions like we are talking about. I was going to teach on the importance of Acts 2:42. Maybe I'll start there next week and go through that one. But it says, and they, the early church, what did they do? They continued daily in the apostleship's doctrine. They didn't have the Bible, but they had the apostleship's doctrine, the apostles' teaching. And then, what does it say? The breaking of bread. It's fellowship. And then it says fellowship and prayers. And I'll address those next week and how critical they are. But for right now, there's four things there. And if you're not locked into them, and you're just a casual comer to church once a week, you may have three spiritual flat tires and you don't even realize it. You know, and it's so easy to slip out of going into fellowship, and it can just chew you up and spit you out. And when we do wander, it's important that we understand what Paul was able to say and look and see if we can say it too. And that's why, look at verses 37 through 39, where it says this. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that there is neither death nor life, nor angels, principalities, these are demons, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in where? Christ Jesus. What an amazing verse to be able to stand up. Listen to it in the Amplified, where it amplifies it a little more. Yet amidst all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him, that would be Jesus, who loves us. For I am persuaded beyond doubt, I'm sure, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why is there so much disdain in the world towards Christians, when we can stand like that and we can be bold like that? Well, I want you to remember what Jesus said there in the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 18, where he said to his disciples, if they hate me, they will hate you. So if we know that Satan and the worldly minded hate us, that is why it is so much spiritual warfare that goes on over Christians, and I would say the Jewish people as well, because God is not finished with the Jews. Whoa, I think he's finished with the Jews. Oh, really? If he's finished with the Jews, then how come 144,000, 12,000 out of each tribe during the tribulation period are going to be called if God's done by the Jews? It doesn't say the Gentiles are out there being little Billy Grahams. It says the Jews are, and God's going to touch them, and they're going to see that Jesus is the Messiah, and they're going to be out there spreading the gospel. He's not done with them by far. So even though there's such disdain by the world, I would much rather be disdained now and be in heaven for eternity than compromise be comfy and cozy here and go to hell. You hear what I'm saying? And I think there's a lot of pastors who are teaching just to make people feel comfortable. If you want to feel comfortable, go get a Sealy mattress. Because what the word says, I'm going to tell you. But I'm hoping I'm telling you in such a way that you can be able to be strong in the Lord, so that you can be what the good news is, where Paul was saying there in verse 37, more than conquerors through Jesus who loves us. Now, what does that mean? That means that we are more than conquerors, and how we need to do it is found right here in our text. Are we all going to go out and buy guns that, even though that's our constitutional right to go and, you know, be armed, are we all going to do that and think that, you know, we're going to have a, you know, Christian militia and wipe out the government? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But that how we're going to be conquerors, is centered in Christ. And let me use Jesus' words. Jesus said to his disciples, you are to be the salt and the light. Salt was used to preserve food and to flavor it. We just need to learn how and when to be salt as a preserver and salt as a sprinkler. Let's say that you take somebody out to dinner and, you know, they ordered a nice medium rare steak. And then they say to you, could you please pass the salt over to me? And you go, well, wait a minute, I'd like to bless you and do it. And you unscrew the salt container and you dump all the salt on his steak. Is he going to say, oh, thank you so much? And go, what are you doing, you crazy? You just ruined my meat. But if you would just say, I know exactly how much you need on here. And then they start eating and go, oh, that was the perfect amount to bring out that flavor. Sometimes we as Christians trying to preserve, we end up steamrolling people because we're not sensitive to the need. People have felt needs. They need to be ministered to. Silly example. A husband and a wife calls you over and says, could you minister to me and to us about marriage and how we can communicate better? Well, actually, the tribulation period's coming around the corner. It can happen at any time. We're going to be raptured, and then all of a sudden, we're going to be in heaven, and then the tribulation starts there in chapter 6, verse 1, where the first seals opened up, and oh, it's just an amazing story. We're all, and they're looking at you like a loony. How's that going to help my marriage? Well, you have just dumped salt on them. Was it true? Yes, but it wasn't what was needed. You need to put the sprinkling of what is needed to bring that marriage back to the loving relationship that God desires for it to be. And so we just need to be wise, not just wise with a little bit of flavor for the meat, but we need to be wise in how we present the gospel. We point it out with the love of God and what he's done for us and how much he loved us to do it. And he can heal your marriage. And then you go on and you talk about the biblical principles of marriage. But then there's times that you need to stand up strong, hard and strong as the body of Christ. It's like not too many years ago, COVID was here. you know, and finally they just said, churches can't meet. And I said, that's not right. We're meeting. Oh, yeah, we spread our chairs out in a nice way. But I remember being out there, and some of the ladies were out there. And I said, open that door and blast out the AC. We're going in right now. And we stayed open. And even though we were getting notices to cease and desist, we kept our school open, and we kept this church open. And if they're going to throw anything at us about these mosquitoes that, you know, China has, and by the way, mosquitoes transfer the mosquito virus. A person who has the virus can't pass it on. A mosquito passes it on. So I think we need to go to war against mosquitoes. Amen. So every next week you come in here, we're dousing you down. No, I'm just teasing. But we were strong as a body of Christ here. And we were getting cease and disorder. Yeah, they thought we were disorder. They wanted us to stop completely, but we wouldn't do it. And the health department told us to do it. We wouldn't do it. Then we got letters from Sacramento to do it. We wouldn't do it. We kept inviting them to come down and see our school. We kept inviting them to come and see how we conduct church. What were we doing? We were standing for righteousness, because we're not going to allow the enemy to take away from our fellowship. We're going to stand strong and be there. Boy, I'm going fast over this stuff. I got one more page. We can do it, can't we? Why do you write so many pages? Because there's so many things to talk about. How else can we stand strong? You saw some of it up there. Voting. We need to be aware and vote properly. Prayer and fasting. We can stand together and pray and fast. And I would encourage you that if you feel led by the Holy Spirit to go to school board meetings, go down and talk about something that you have on your heart. City council boards, go down and talk. Board of supervisors, I wish I could tell you the things I know about what's happening down there at the Board of Supervisors. It's just disgusting what's going on. How about God says that we were also his light. Don't you hate those people that have bright lights on you all the time? And you flash your lights. I'll still remember when I was about 20 or 21 or 2. In Chula Vista on H Street. And there was a stoplight. And there was a car over here that had its brights on, and I'm over here. Now, in those days, you used your foot to turn your brights on. Little clicker. How many remember that? Oh, look at all these old people here. Well, this guy had his bright lights on, and I clicked it. Didn't do it. I clicked it again. Didn't do it, so I clicked it 3 times, didn't do anything. It was a long light. I clicked it 4 or 5 times. I clicked it 8 times, and then finally I just started going click, 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 click. And then the light changed up here, and the car behind that guy with the bright lights, red lights came on. He pulled them over. I don't know what he told him, but I bet you he didn't like me. And I, you know, I have to, when cars are coming with bright lights, I learned a long time ago, don't be looking at that light because you're going to be drawn right into it. Find the line out here and keep your eyes over there if you have to. Just, you know, cover up a little bit. And, you know, bright lights can be dangerous if used at the wrong time. But don't you also, have you ever been in a room by yourself or with somebody and it's pitch black, and they have a bright light, and they keep shining it in your face. See, God says that we're supposed to be light. He doesn't say we're supposed to be a burning, torching, horrible light that you can't stand. But when you need your brights on and there's no cars around and it's a dark corner, brights are nice. Bright lights in your backyard, as long as you don't have a kid and say, "What, Daddy?" And they point it right at your face and you point it out what you need to look at. They're great. And that's what we need to be. We need to be sensitive. We need to be able to love one another. We need to be salt, and we need to be light, and that's going to bring people to understand what Jesus is all about. And how do we do that? It's not difficult. It really isn't. We take one verse out of James that tells us to be a doer of the Word of God, not just a hearer. You know, as Christians, we live a life of being more than conquerors. And the way we do that, and we're able to have complete confidence in what Paul says there in the last two verses, I'll just read them real fast again, 38 and 39, where it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things that are present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ," or the love of God, "which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." When we walk, we take this verse to heart. And we take Revelation 4:1 to heart. Are we walking in such a way that it is pleasing unto God? If you're walking in such a way that it's pleasing unto God, what happened in Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, when Nebuchadnezzar threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, and you don't think it was hot? The guys that opened up the doors, they just fell over dead. And he threw them all in, and he said to the people there, "Hey, didn't we throw in three? I see four, and the one looks like he's the Son of God." Who was that? That was Jesus walking with him. And you know what a lot of people skip over on that verse? Call him out. And when they called him out, not even their clothes were singed. Why? Because Jesus was with them. So if we be a doer of the Word of God, and we're doing it from a pure heart, and we're doing it with love, then guess what? People are going to see that we're more than conquerors, and that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Amen? All right, next time you call me with your problem, tell me, "I know nothing's going to separate me from Christ, but can we pray about this?" And I'll say, "Absolutely." So let's go ahead and pray at this time. Father in heaven, I thank you so much that we're able to come together. We know that it's summertime and so many people are away to get out of the heat, but we thank you that, Father, that we're here and that we're able to take this word and apply it to our lives so that we can be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so, Father, I pray blessings upon this word in each of our hearts. Father, if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you or is scattered away and run away, that you would, by the sweetness of your Holy Spirit, convict them to come back to the cross or to come to the cross. And if that be you, just sincerely pray this. You got a fresh new start. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Thank you that you knew my sins and you died for me. and I appreciate you dying for me. So I accept you as my Savior. I accept you as my Lord. I want you to guide me and direct me. Help me to be a light and salt in this world as I live my life for you. Bring people by that I would be able to minister your love and these principles with. In Jesus' name, and Father, watch over us this entire week for all of us. May your hand be upon us. May you draw us close to you. May you, Jesus, illuminate things for us, new insights in your word, that you would also cause us to surrender our hearts in such a way that we will honor you and that we would be the salt and the light that blesses you and that much fruit would be added. In Jesus' name, Father, amen.